Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to Right from the Left Coast. I am your host, Linda. I am broadcasting now from Oceanside, California. It is 82 degrees, ocean breeze, sunny and beautiful. I wish I could have taken it with me for my 9-day trip to Indiana, which was the 12th through the 20th. We had a blast. Hope everybody can, I think Travis had to re-up and get it all together. I was trying to do some scheduling stuff and make this show longer, but hopefully you guys have sound, and everyone out there that I can't see, those listening by the Listen Now app or whatever, welcome to the show. Again, great time in Delaney. Pictures are on patriotfamily.com. That's patriotfamilies.com. That's with a YS. And it's amazing. We had a blast, great food, all these wonderful things. So I just want to shout out to everybody who's listening, and hopefully Bill can get in if he's not totally exhausted. I'm beat. So my show is like an hour, and all the information on it's wrong because BTR was giving me fits trying to schedule it today. Yeah, I know. Computers, yes. They're the bane of my existence at this point. Anyway, I wanted to start out. I'm going to do a lot today on the immigration and the illegal alien invasion of this country. I am so upset about it, but there's a couple successes. People are going all over the country protesting against this nonsense, and I'm praying that everything that Barry has done in the last 6 years is blowing up in his face. And I do believe I have Mr. Bill Strong on with me.
Hello, Linda.
Hey. So hopefully you guys are able to hear and all that stuff. You just missed the intro a little bit, nothing radical, talking a little bit about Delaney, because last time I was right from the heartland, basically, in Hoosierville. It was fun. Again, my jet lag's kicking in. I worked my tush off yesterday getting things organized. So, you know, hopefully you have a good crowd there. I've got Travis in the chat room. I've got FT in the chat room, so I'm welcoming everybody. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. PC problems since I got back. Haven't been able to get on to anything, so I'm calling in just to listen.
Awesome. Okay, so let me do my scriptural reading, and then, like I said, I am going to, before I brought you in on the unmuted thing, I'm going to talk about the illegal alien invasion of our country. It's just crazy, and I've just got so much to go through. And then while I'm doing that, since you're on, you can chime in on this stuff because it's crazy. But we're going to go to inspirational promises from God's word about truth. This one is Psalm 19, 7 and 9 verses. The teachings of the Lord are perfect. They give new strength. The rules of the Lord can be trusted. They make plain people wise. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are completely right. Hey, Nick, hope that's you. Hope Yo is feeling better. The next one is Psalm 119, 97, and 98, and then 160. How I love your teachings. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies because they are mine forever. Your words are true from the start, and all your laws will be fair forever. The next last one is 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. We also know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we can know the true one. And our lives are in the true one and in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and the eternal life. So nice teachings and things we should remember. So I'm not sure if that's Nick or Yola. So if you guys want to type it in, that's great. Okay. Going on to, hold up one second. I have these in kind of order. There was from my friend in Orange County talking about Fontana. It says, citizens speak out at a Fontana council meeting opposing Department of Homeland Security housing these border crossers. So Obama sanctioned prison release 36,000 deported criminals back into the U.S. soil in 2013. I think I sent some of this to you earlier, Bill, but anyway, it says, great success. 20 speakers took to the podium during public comments in support of immigration laws and the U.S. Constitution. There's lots of pictures. People of all races and creeds were up there. This one gentleman held up a sign that says, Obama put Americans first. It says, help American children, help our veterans, et cetera. So they're putting up signs, and it was just amazing. Citizens claim the public outcry stopped the St. Joseph's Catholic Church from the housing of Texas border crossers in Fontana. So the comments, it talks about 19 of the public comment speakers did not support the church and its housing of border crossers. Only one person who was a church member observing from St. Joseph's Catholic Church steps the day of the pro-USA rally was in support of this church's housing of border crossers. So it goes on and on and on. During public comments, this lady presented a proposal to the city of Fontana calling for an official immigration forum. There was even a teenager named Dylan who attended the pro-USA rally on July 13th at this church, and he addressed the city council. There's just one after the other. Pro-law enforcement, 20 public speakers who opposed the housing of border crossers at this church often praised Fontana Police Chief Jones and the Fontana Police Department as they addressed city council. The Fontana's native son, Bill Kezar, drew an enthusiastic applause from the audience when he thanked the chief for the professional conduct of his officers at the July 13th church rally. At the beginning of public comments, a senior citizen, hippie type, long graying hair, almost to his waist, had spoken out strongly against the Fontana Police Department, claiming he and his wife and others are routinely stopped and harassed by this particular police department simply because of the way we look. So after this gentleman, Mr. Kezar, finished speaking, the aging hippie hollered out at him in opposition to his praising of the police, and then he began to verbally disrupt the meeting. The officers escorted the man out of the meeting, and the mayor called for a three-minute recess. I've been there, done that. I know what that's about. So let me go to the next one. I'm going to get these in the order because this is the insight to the political mind, which is our assemblyman. It says, California Republican Assemblyman Kurt Hagman is confused. He accidentally voted yes on allowing professional licensing for illegal aliens. Perhaps illegal alien doctors and psychiatrists will be part of the great Obamacare money-saving plan. For those of us who have sat through multiple national board exams interspersed throughout each level of the schooling process to prove competency for advancement, then sat for days along state boards after graduating from a board-certified and approved professional school, then paid for digital fingerprinting and FBI clearance, this is troubling news. Just the FBI background check should be a giant red flag since other countries don't keep good records. They also don't share what they may have. An irate group of constituents who campaigned for Hagman stormed out of his office to register their frustration and demanded an explanation. A sit-down meeting was arranged for July 18th. I arrived for that meeting before the crowd and met Kurt during the calm. I told him I wanted to ask him during the meeting if he was joining with ICE, people like Rep. Ed Royce, and other local officials to get immigration laws enforced, push E-Verify, and start the deportation process of border crossers. I wanted to give him time to consider a solution, an action plan involving the work of a federal representative, a federal agency, a state official, and local law enforcement. The crowd came in and saved him from making a response. Oh, how convenient. During the meeting, the assemblyman said, it is difficult making laws and voting in Sacramento because, you're going to love this, because of the number of bills in play. He said there's a problem getting legislation passed in California because the Latino caucus runs Sacramento. Are you guys hearing this? And we need to elect more Republicans to break the supermajority. It gets better. He said the myriad of protests are great and more citizens need to participate in this manner. Then he dropped the bomb on his legislative style. He said the people need to give solutions to their representatives and not just present NIMBY protestations. So this guy says, the citizens need to convince the other side why change is needed and how the problem can be solved. Don't we elect politicians to do this exact thing? Legislating, working together, and creating an environment in which the American people may thrive. Mr. Hagman also said the people are inconsistent in their demands. 1 month they demand action on NSA, then Benghazi, Obamacare, IRS, Ukraine, VA, and this month the border crisis. So it is hard to know what to act upon. If the preceding issues were on a multiple choice test of what to fix, I believe the average American would choose Scranton answer E, all of the above. Can you imagine living next door to Citizen Hagman when the apartment building across the street explodes and catches on fire? In shock, you drop your groceries, keys, and cell phone and run for a hose. Kurt, come and help, you shout. Pick up my phone and dial 911. Turn up the water while I untangle the hose that just got caught on the rose bush. See if you can go up the back stairs and help old Colonel Johnson out the back exit. Would neighbor Hagman act at all? Stand confused by all the choices? Do you state that there is a drought and you can't use excess water, or say that this is a matter for the fire department and you should just wait? I hope all of our politicians are not this limited in understanding and reasoning, but I think they are. How is it not possible to comprehend that regular Americans are responding to one crisis after another, changing focus, because we are shocked at the temerity and ineptitude of the Oval Office and federal government in allowing all of this to happen? And that, in many instances, they created these crises. We want all of these issues fixed, and we want our leaders to have the foresight to put some systems into play so that all of this unnecessary insanity cannot happen again. Sadly, the other side of the aisle has no problem thinking outside of the box, making decisions, and acting. California Attorney General Kamala Harris, oh, don't you love this one, whom the president called the hottest attorney general in America, just held a conference in Park City, Utah, to establish a network of free, listen to this, free legal representation for the illegal border crossers. A state official who went out of state to establish a national organization. Do you see a problem with the pattern? How about our Republican politicians? Kamala's not waiting for citizens to tell her what to do or for other people to act. She is stepping so outside the box that she is fighting for non-citizens with the authority of her title, wasting American resources and court time for a level of representation the average citizen could never afford. Hey, Kurt, go out with a bang. You only have a few months left as assemblyman. Get out of your comfort zone and talk with the other guys on our team about getting something real done. And that was a blog by a lady named Jennifer. So, Bill, what do you think of that one?
Well, you know, churches that are coming out here and supporting illegals,
they
don't even follow the words of their own book. You honor your country. You honor the rules and laws of your country. And second off, if someone breaks the law or sins against your country, you don't just say it's okay and let them go on. You forgive them, but you expect them to go and get in the back of the line and come the right way. To let them, to forgive them and let them continue to break the laws and stuff is redundant. And these politicians, I guarantee you, if the illegals voted as high in a percentage for the GOP as they did for Democrats, we wouldn't be hearing any of this stuff.
They
would be enforcing our laws, but they refuse to enforce our laws. They flat out refuse to enforce them and then turn around and want to say, oh, well, the laws are broken. It's not the laws that's broken. It's our elected who refuse to enforce the laws that are broken. And we should gather every one of them up and their families and deport them.
Oh, it's,
because
you know,
they obviously do not stand for this country.
Yeah. Look, there's a blog I'm going to read in a minute, and it talks about how these people, especially the left and the demos, how they view these border crossers and all this illegal alien invasion, et cetera, they do not look at them as people. They look at them as voters. That's what they're doing, Bill. I'm telling you. Let me get into this. Go ahead.
These illegals are not getting free legal advice. They're getting legal advice on the backs of the American taxpayers.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is crazy. because they do not do that for their own citizens.
But that's why people are. This is why they went.
We already know that the reasons they were giving about these people fleeing violence and stuff was bull.
Oh, yeah.
230 of them were interviewed. 219 of them said they came for the simple fact they were told they could stay once they got here.
Yep, that's right.
That's why
they came. Of course they do.
Obama administration has known for 2 years that this was coming. They have made no attempt to secure our border. They've blocked every attempt we've made at trying to secure our border. They have blocked it. They used the money that was supposed to build a fence to pay out bonuses at Homeland Security.
Here's the deal. That's why these people are coming to these city council meetings and speaking out and carrying signs inside the room. You are allowed to carry signs inside these rooms, and I'm telling you, people have had it. Remember when we were watching Fox News up at your cabin, and we were seeing all these guys all across the country protesting, standing up, finally. I mean, they're just – the whole country has had it. And Rod Luke's kind of – I guess he's going out to dinner with – by himself today, so he told me he's not going to be here, but he was sending me stuff, you know, talking about different, you know, all these different things that are happening, and I've got one on the drug cartels, and they're talking about the illegals and the gang members and the M13s and all these people, and the ones coming up from the border, and if it gets to a tipping point, which is what's probably going to happen, and these people are going to, these illegals are going to take to the streets and try to overwhelm us. Well, I told Rod, I said, it'll be a bloody contest because there's a lot of us who are expecting it, waiting for it, and ready. It is not going to be pretty, but they're not coming to take over my house or my community. They're not. I'm just...
All you have to do is get the country these people come from, and they're bringing that same culture, that same cowardly culture that does not have the guts to stand up in their own country and fight for their rights, that will come here and demand their rights off of us.
Right. I'm gonna show you this one. It says, report, Mexican drug cartels lay down high-powered suppressing fire to bring cover for the crossing illegal, they say, immigrants, I call them aliens, which is what they are. This is the quote. The border is completely safe, so say President Barry, Representative Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and others who support the wave of illegal immigrants entering the United States. A new report from Southern Border, however, suggests otherwise. Shots rang out Friday night in Rincon Peninsula, Texas, forcing U.S. Border Patrol agents to take cover. The shots originated from the south of the Rio Grande, and according to the Border Patrol sources, they came from the high-powered 50 cal. Based on what agents witnessed next, according to Texas State Rep. Louis Gohmert, this wasn't just random fire. So I'm quoting him, when the shooting stopped, about 40 to 50 people came out on the U.S. side and turned themselves in. So clearly the rounds were being fired to suppress every effort to stop anybody intervening with anyone or anything coming across. Gohmert added, we have no idea what or how many or whom came across with other illegal immigrants. And that's another contention I know of yours. Sources said they believe the gunfire came from members of Mexican drug cartels, which include former military members trained in shooting that type of weaponry. Border Patrol sources said the rounds were clearly identifiable because 50 caliber weapons make a distinctive noise when fired. And I'm sure you could confirm that, Bill. Sources said they also believe this is the first time that the Border Patrol agents have taken direct fire from the Mexican side of the river in this area. And I don't know why we are out here like sitting ducks, one Border Patrol source said. We need help. The shooting has prompted fears that Mexican drug cartels, known to be extremely dangerous and responsible for over 75,000 deaths in the drug war that has plagued the country for the last 7 years, and now bringing their brand of violence into the United States via the unsecured 3,000-mile southern border. According to Carl Denninger of the Market Ticker, there is only one way to describe what's happening, especially now that suppressing fire is being laid down for migrants trying to make their way into the U.S. Good thing the shooters are pretty bad shots, or we would have had some dead agents. Further, as soon as the shooting stopped, a few dozen people, note the word invaders is not used, came out on the U.S. side and turned themselves in. So it appears the intention of the barrage was suppressive fire, that is to make the agents put their heads down so they can't see while the invaders come across. Yes, folks, invaders. What do you call it when an armed force lays down suppressive fire across the border so that their people can come in? This is an act of war, shooting, and an invasion. Though the actions of Mexican drug cartels are not necessarily state-sponsored, the Mexican government has done little to stop the flood of tens of thousands of people using their northern border as a corridor for illegal immigration. They are complicit in these activities by allowing government transport of migrants via trains, producing flyers with instructions on how to illegally cross the border, and refusing to mobilize Mexican police and military to secure their side of the border. Now, with Mexican drug cartels opening fire on U.S. law enforcement agents and in many cases shooting at private American citizens, the events unfolding on the border are nothing short of an armed invasion. President Obama recently claimed that the border was more secure today than any other time in the last 20 years. Boy, he's got his head right in one of those 19th hole, I guess, or the 18th hole on a course. U.S. Border Patrol agents taking fire from high-powered military rifles would probably disagree. If the President of the United States fails to perform his sworn duty, which is to defend the borders of the United States of America, then it is only a matter of time before the extreme drug violence taking place in Mexico makes its way to the streets of America. That's one of the little great things. So what do you think of that one, Bill?
Well,
are you
the current shootings may have been from drug cartels, but we know for a fact that the Mexican military has crossed our border and to aid drug cartels and drug runners to get across.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. That's a fact. And for Obama to turn a blind eye and act like everything's done, what he is doing is he is aiding and abetting a foreign invasion of the United States.
Yep.
And folks,
it's
that
treason.
Is not treason.
You
the law is the law.
This is not misdemeanor.
It has not been changed. And you can't just ignore the law because you don't like it. And that's what we have. We have elected to refuse to enforce the law because they can either pad their pockets or their cronies can pad their pockets by employing illegals at a cheaper wage, by housing them, and then you house for a household of four, and they pay extra money for each extra individual, which the landowner gets that money. He never reports it on his taxes. It's tax evasion by those people. And the left will do anything to destroy this nation. Not bright enough to figure out that when they do, they have destroyed themselves.
Yep.
They lack
next
that
one.
Power.
No, they're so stupid. This guy, I got this earlier today, and I'm going to read this on the air. It's kind of lengthy, but we'll take a break stuff. It's just an amazing, and I don't have the name, but it says, the title, the heading, it says, isn't it meaningful to deport illegal immigrants? So his answer says, dear Americans who advocate for open borders, I'm reaching out with a vein that I can help you understand the illegal immigration issue in America. You may have heard that it is complicated and controversial matter. It is not. It's easy. See, there are some topics here in the U.S. that are unavoidably complex, therefore naturally contentious. Topics where right and wrong might be difficult to discern. Brain bad versus the fire, for instance. Scholars and philosophers have spent years contemplating this dilemma, and none have come close to shedding any light upon it. Illegal immigration, however, is not that sort of topic. Illegal immigration is simple. Not simple to handle after decades of non-existent immigration enforcement, but simple to analyze. Not easy for the immigrants themselves, but easy to understand. We have borders in this country. We have laws. We must enforce those laws and those borders. If someone comes here in a manner not consistent with our laws, we must send them home. If your first act as a would-be citizen is to defy our laws, you cannot be a citizen. Simple. I didn't say pleasant. I didn't say fun. I said simple. Every nation in existence has borders and laws, and every nation save ours generally goes about enforcing both. Mexico fortifies its southern border and has no patience or mercy for trespassers. If other countries don't enforce their laws and borders, it's most likely because they lack the resources and capabilities. But here in this country, we have a unique situation. We are able, but unwilling. Indeed, we may be the first nation in the history of humanity, outside of old Rome, that actually has to argue over the basic concept of having and maintaining a border. Now we are dealing with a flood of third world illegals, prompting politicians and citizens alike to throw up their hands and say, well, I guess our choice to not enforce the border proves that the very concept of a border is obsolete. We have no other option but to become an amorphous blob of a geographical territory virtually indistinguishable from the nations surrounding it. It's really quite all insane. So I've decided to compile this helpful facts, answers, and questions to answer most of the questions and objections commonly raised by people who don't understand why America should have laws and borders. So the question is, isn't it mean and hateful to deport illegal immigrants? Great question. Answer is no. I can only speak for myself, I suppose, but I'd guess that many anti-illegal immigrant folks echo my sentiments. I don't hate illegals. I don't even fault them for trying to sneak across the border. Despite popular perceptions, immigration enforcement is nothing personal. If I lived in Mexico, I'd sure want to leave there. Some in the hordes are unsavory characters, understatement of the week, but many are, in fact, searching for a better life. I get it. I sympathize. Unfortunately, though, a man's pure intent does not erase the law, nor does it negate the necessity of things like borders and organized lawful immigration procedures. A boy in the city might rob a liquor store because he honestly believes it's the only way to help his mother pay the grocery bills. The fact that he committed this crime under duress and out of concern for his family may very well minimize his moral guilt. I'm sure that when he gets to those pearly gates, God will look upon him with great mercy and compassion. Now, does that mean that we should erase the laws against robbing liquor stores? Is the liquor store owner now a bully and a fanatic if he takes measures to stop future robberies? Even if those robberies are also at the hands of kids in similar situations, should the police reward the young man by letting him keep the money he stole? No, no, and no. Why? Because for one thing, that would be anarchy. For another, robbery is still objectively wrong. For still another, store owners deserve protection from the law or through the law. Without it, there can be no stores, and they will all end up like the kid with the gun. Next question. Isn't immigration enforcement a right-wing conspiracy? Interesting thought, but as a member, I can assure you the right wing in America can't conspire to do anything. It couldn't even conspire to win an election after 4 years of one of the most incompetent and disastrous presidents in American history. I've been at the conspiracy meetings. Trust me, you have nothing to worry about. Half of the right wing conspiracy is still nestled close to Mitch McConnell's bosom, smiling peacefully as he sings them to sleep at night. They are no threat to you. No, this is not a right-wing thing. This is a common-sense thing. A country cannot exist without a border, and a border cannot exist without laws, and the laws cannot exist without enforcement. It's very logical. The true conspiracy is among those who oppose immigration enforcement. That camp can be easily divided into two factions with plenty of crossover. One, corporations. You're going to love this one, Bill. One of the greatest and most easily debunked myths in politics is the one about left-wingers hating greedy corporations. In truth, their social agenda relies on the strong-arm, unethical tactics of those corporations, and immigration is a perfect example. Big businesses love illegal immigration because it affords them undocumented slave labor. I used to live in southern Delaware. Do you know what southern Delaware is famous for? Nothing, really, besides a thing they do every year where they launch pumpkins from catapults for 3 days straight. Kind of reminds me of what you guys used to do, too, in Indiana. But if it was to be known for something else, it would be for illegal immigration. Southern Delaware is overrun by illegals because it's also overrun by corporate chicken farms. Coincidence? Probably not. Number two, the other reason, is Democrat politicians. Sorry, not just Democrat politicians. I should say Democrat politicians and stupid, self-destructive Republican politicians, a large group, to be sure. Democrats own the Latino immigrant vote because they're really good at identity politics, while politics in general. They actively recruit illegal immigrants and fight voter ID laws because that's how they win elections. Pretty simple. Illegals aren't people to them. They're voters. And in the minds of politicians, there's a profound difference between those two categories. next question. But what about the children? Yes, the children. It's always funny in a morbid, nauseating kind of way when progressives pull the think of the children card. Apparently, in their view, it's immoral to refuse children's entry into the United States as long as they're attempting to enter through the southern border. However, if they wish to enter through their mother's birth canal, a southern border of its own, you might say, we can not only refuse them, but suck their brains out of their skulls and incinerate them for fuel. Perhaps we should think of babies as birth immigrants, and then they'd be protected from murder with the same fervor that we protect born children from being put on a bus and brought back to their families in their home countries. Illegal immigration is another issue where those who generally advocate for the most sinister and diabolical institutions known to man all of a sudden become compassionate and empathetic. But this compassion and empathy is just a mask they wear to cover up the fact that, in truth, their hearts are numb to human suffering, which is why they feel nothing as millions of dead children pile up beneath their feet. Personally, I do feel great compassion for these kids, but the law can't be put to the side for them. Besides, maybe they're better off elsewhere. We don't exactly treat children with humanity and respect in this country. I have an idea. Let's concentrate on granting human rights to our own kids before we worry about granting citizenship to kids across the globe. Another question. America is a nation of immigrants. Sure, and? Most nations are nations of immigrants. Very few people, no matter where they live, can trace their ancestry all the way back through the millennia to the very location where they currently reside. Humanity spread and pioneered and settled across the world. Most of us can follow our roots and find buried somewhere deep a nomadic heritage. So what? As far as America is concerned, immigrants came from all over. They settled legally. They forged a life. Things were different then. Notably, there weren't as many people here. How is it that we hear so much about this mythical global overpopulation, but America is still viewed as the one place that can fit an infinite number of inhabitants? The whole world is too crowded, except for America? Of course, overpopulation is a ridiculous lie, so the problem with illegal immigrants isn't one of lack of space. It's more a lack of jobs, a lack of money, and a lack of resources. Not to mention, back in the old days, immigrants came here and helped tame the wildland. They pioneered. They dug in and did their part to build our once great civilization. Illegal immigrants of modern times, on the other hand, are often coaxed with Spanish language food stamp advertisements and visions of free education and free health care. Our great grandparents came to make this country. Many illegals today come to use it. I understand their desire to do so. I don't fault them, but there is a big difference between then and now, a big difference. Next question, isn't it unfair to expect immigrants to navigate our immigration process? Unfair? Isn't it unfair to let them skip the immigration process while millions of others went through it? Isn't it unfair that legal citizens get treated like Osama bin Laden at the airport? Isn't it unfair that NSA has unfettered access to our phone records and internet activity? Isn't it unfair that you can't even get your license renewed without producing 5 forms of ID, a vial of blood, and a stool sample? Isn't it unfair that you are documented, tracked, counted, and monitored everywhere you go all the time? Isn't it unfair that it requires less identification to cross the southern border than buy cough syrup at Walgreens? Yes, all of these things are unfair, which means the immigration process isn't unfair because it's very consistent with what the rest of us are dealing with on a daily basis. Now, tell me that the bureaucracy is out of control and everything is more complicated and less efficient because of it, and I'll agree. Tell me that we need to cut down the government and force it to handle its essential functions with speed and competency, and I'll agree. Tell me that this should happen with our immigration process, and I'll agree, but insist that we start streamlining the process elsewhere. In the meantime, open borders aren't the answer. Open borders are never the answer unless the question is, what's the quickest way to bankrupt the country and ensure democratic victories in every election from now until our society collapses and we turn into a lawless hellhole like Mexico? That was a great article. What say you?
Well, you know, there we are. We're so concerned about these people who come illegally. When immigration was first started in this country, there weren't entitlements.
Absolutely.
What we have today by the ones they're bringing is a mass increase in the cost of entitlements upon the American taxpayers.
And you know what?
$742 a month. That's what we're spending for each one of these illegals. Think about that, folks. $4,742 a month for these illegals. How many of us can spend that much on our children per month?
Yeah,
think about
look. Yeah, we talked about this in Indiana because I've told you California for years, I mean decades it seems, have been spending $21 billion with a B every year the taxpayers have to cough up to house them, need them, food stamp them, educate them, put them in the hospitals and put the hospitals out of business. It's been going on for – we're sick of it. We're sick of it.
The debt never gets paid. You know that in California. Your debt
right.
doesn't get paid. It just keeps increasing. You never pay on your debt.
No.
And we have a country that does the same thing. Wanting to get out of those crap hole countries from South America and Mexico. I understand that. But I also understand that they're being used as pawns. They are nothing more than pawns. And when they're done using them as pawns and they no longer serve a purpose, they'll be feeding them to the ovens they've established all over
yep.
the nation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm not sure what portion of the line. I know that they'll be some of the first in line. I'm hoping the second group of people will be the politicians. I can only hope. You know, good fodder, but... it's crazy, Bill. I mean, look, what we're dealing with people firing on our border people. We're dealing with a lawless presidency. We've got, you remember Wizard of Oz, and there was a little guy behind the curtain doing all the string pulling, and the big head was on the thing in front like a movie screen? Well, that the movie screen is Barry, and behind the curtain is Valerie Jarrett and all the rest of the minions and the Cass Sunsteins and the Samantha Powers and the George Soros's and the what's his face? Can't remember the dude that's a rail king that was putting the kibosh on the pipeline because he has the rail stuff. Welcome, Holger. Everybody that's in there. Anyway, what do you think, Bill?
Well, when an illegal kills, they allow these illegals in here and they don't enforce our laws, and an illegal kills an American or molests a child, an American child. To me,
oh, I know.
Our government, those who support them, are co-collaborators in the murder or the molestation. They will not talk about it to bring up the numbers. They don't want to acknowledge anything. And in the end, they will have destroyed this nation. It's a shame we can't send these people out to nations that are just like what they want to turn this one into.
Well, look, I mean, I'm going to pick up the next call.
I got to say this. You did your little thing the other day at Delaney, and that chart at the end that shows the fusion center.
Right. Yep. The city.
Are you going to be? How will this affect those fusion centers?
I don't know. Maybe it's the FEMA camps are going to.
I'd like to hear any Democrat out there explain that to me. There's your plan world depopulation. How does these illegals fit into that?
Well, I've got another caller, and I want to see who this is. Welcome to the show, area code 845.
Hi, how are you doing this evening?
Pretty good. Who we have
here? This is Mike calling in from New York. Sorry I'm kind of late, so I'm not speaking
cool.
what the topic is tonight.
Talking about the invasion at the southern border and how the politicians are feckless and the other ones are pushing it, and then many are aiding and abetting and accessories to it.
There's an article that came out in which newspaper? Oh, it was in The Hill, down in Washington.
Okay.
It came out, I think, three days ago, and which for me it was amazing because for The Hill to be publishing this, and it said outright in it the incompetence, Obama's incompetence, and how he's handling this affair, and he's to blame for it. And they laid the blame right at his feet.
Wow.
And I said, for this to come out of them, so this isn't going unnoticed. They see it.
Sure.
Politicians see it, and I think a lot of them are afraid. They don't want to touch it. They don't know what to do at this point.
Yeah, because there's... Oh, God, you can't fix stupid. Some of these people
no,
are
you
so...
can't. You can't. They think there's an easy way out of it. There's no easy... Follow the law. The law is clear.
Yep.
They don't want to... They're interpreting
nope.
it, and they're getting away with it because nobody's standing up to them and putting their foot down.
Well, a lot of people are. In the first part of the program, I was talking about what's going on in California. There's like several. I think there's Ramona, Murrieta, Fontana. There's just tons of places. In fact, they're doing it all over the country. Well, we were in Indiana partying the last 9 days a little bit ago, and we were watching some Fox News. We actually got some communication with the outside world. All across the country, they're standing up. They're going to town council meetings. They're going to planning meetings. They're screaming. They got their signs. They're speaking for the allotted time. I'm seeing it everywhere. They got the flags. They got the signs. They're bringing the signs into the council chambers. I mean, people have had it. They're waking up.
Well, that article on The Hill also mentioned the anger that's out there. And there's some other articles that are mentioning the anger nationwide. It's starting to come out. It's coming out to the top, and I'm noticing it whenever I go to the store.
Sure.
I mean, I on purpose, I'll bring it up. What was it? 2 days ago, I had to go to Home Depot to return a bottle of spray paint, but just a simple bottle of spray can. The nozzle was broken, and I just wanted another one. And there are two of the clerks from Home Depot, and I put it down on the counter, and the guy looked at me and said, "What's the matter with it?" And I said, you know, I bought it because I wanted to do some serious graffiti work, and I just can't seem to spray. Whenever I do Obama, the O, it doesn't come out right. And the lady turned to me right away and said, "You got to use the color red so it matches his politics." And then the other guy started, and they don't even know me, but it opened up the subject.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's across the
great.
Board. It's
oh,
across
that's
the, no matter
funny.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Well, you know what? What I'm seeing, Mike, is that a lot of people, and I know Bill and I've talked about this, and others at Delaney and stuff, and I mean for forever on our radio shows, that especially just now, especially with everything that's hitting the fan, you've got the Malaysian jet shot down, you've got Putin on the phone, you've got idiot going fundraising and playing golf and going to gay bathhouses and God knows what else, and then you know, but all this stuff's blowing up in his face, isn't it? All of it.
You know, another thing, in one of the newspapers last night I read it, he said, "A serious problem with Germany right now. They don't trust him anymore whatsoever because of the NSA stuff, because of the spying."
Wow.
So Obama figured that he can fix the problem by sending someone. Did you see who he sent to Germany yesterday?
No.
His chief of staff. Where have you ever seen the chief of staff from the White House?
Oh, my God.
Sent as a liaison to calm things down with the government.
Oh, my God. Never.
Something's wrong. I mean, and the world sees it. Turkey, an article came out yesterday also, saying that the Turkish prime minister will not speak to Obama anymore. That
wow.
has nothing to do with it.
You know, I know Putin. Yeah. Putin hates him. Yeah. Putin absolutely can't stand him. Look, everybody knows that Valerie runs that place. She and I'm sure the Sunsteins, you know, type people with the nudge and the shove and the shoot. And people like George Soros, who like he's the money bags of the deal. I mean, this man, you know, he's had so much chum and coke and everything else in his whole life, and I can't even imagine that his brain functions very well at all. His whole life is a sham. He has been groomed for this mess to be that front, you know, Wizard of Oz up there on the screen, and they're pulling his strings behind the scenes. I'm telling you.
I don't know completely that. I mean, I know a lot of people say, no, this is part of a master plan and everything. To tell you the truth, I'm a government contractor. I get a different view because I'm one of the small fish in the sea. We're no KBR. You know, this is a husband and wife team. So I see it from a different level, and I see a total incompetence, and I see it, the people that are in charge, it's almost as if they're experimenting with our system and rewiring it, and they don't know what they're doing. And now, all of a sudden, if you change something and you see that it's headed for a train wreck, any one of us would have reversed the policy and said, okay, no, this isn't going to work, change it quick. But no, instead, they sit back and they have the attitude, let's see what happens, let it go. We can always rely on, well, there was an unintended consequence. And they've toyed with our government so much and done so much damage that I really don't think they know what they're doing. And a lot of different people, I have no doubt that Soros and the rest of them all have a direct line and have input. And they're all telling them, feeding them stuff like the unions. Do this, do that, get rid of this. Feed the unions, you owe us because of us getting rid of this. I mean, it's nothing but a huge experiment on their part. They promised change. Son of a bitch, they're doing it. But there's there's a lot that I brought up on other radio shows
right.
and a couple other ones that I'm on that that the media never even talks about. There's something called an A76 circular. And this isn't
okay.
tin hat stuff. It's not UFO stuff. It's been in place. It's a White House circular that's been in place since 1966 that basically says before the federal government can do anything, that the federal government will not compete with the private sector for goods and services. Now, that benefits the private sector, and that benefits the taxpayers. In other words, before they can do anything, they have to do a cost study. Is it cheaper for the government to do the work or the private sector to do the work? Right? Whatever's cheaper,
right.
then we go with that. Okay. When Obama took power, he suspended all 876 cost studies. In 2009, did it again in 2010, 11,
mm-hmm.
12, and 13. They did away with it. They don't care what's cheaper for the taxpayer. They wanted the federal government to have the work. They wanted the federal unions to have the work.
And the power.
And you never heard anything about this. The media doesn't say, but if you do a search, 876, Obama, suspended, do a Google search and watch what comes up. And it's
okay.
all, this is in place. He's been trying different things, but what happened was they were hiring more federal employees, which the unions love, more union money comes in.
Yeah.
And they're growing a larger government because of it.
Oh,
and
it's huge.
They're taking work away from the private sector.
Yes.
But now they're running out of money. They run into trouble now because they don't
yes,
have any money
are.
To hire in.
Ah,
so,
yeah. Oh, yeah, it's except they'll just try to find other ways to steal and pillage.
Yeah.
I got one more caller here. I got area code 763. Welcome to the show.
Hey, this is Holder.
Hey.
Good evening. Well, I know you're I know you're on the last lap of the show here, so I just had a brief point to make.
Okay.
You know, talking about the border and all that kind of good stuff.
Right.
I here's just and just hang with me for a second here, but you know, over in London, England right now, there are sections of that city that are Sharia zones, okay, where
yes.
the Muslims actually patrol the streets, and if you violate the ideas of Sharia, you are accosted for that. So if I was in London and happened upon a Sharia zone and I decided that I would wanted to partake of some alcohol on the street, I would put up a fight against
mm-hmm.
them. Or if my female partner there was decided she wanted to show some skin, she would be allowed to do so. And the reason I would do that is because their law, their Sharia law,
mm-hmm.
does not affect me. It does not
right.
include me. I am not, I do not fall under that law. The issue we have in this country right now with this president and most of these people on the left is they simply do not believe that the Constitution is the law
right.
of this land.
No, they
and
don't.
The other thing is, when is the last time that you heard Barack Obama ever refer to the Constitution?
Not
in
often.
A speech, not being asked a question by somebody like, you know, well, what do you think of the Constitution? But when's the last time you actually heard him bring up the Constitution or the constitutionality of something or something that's in the Constitution?
Right.
He never speaks of it because he doesn't believe he is bound by it.
By it. No.
Yep.
Well, look, the guy's a Marxist through and through. He was born a Marxist. I'm
the
telling you.
The only time I know of he ever brought up the Constitution, he brought it up as being a flawed document.
Yep.
That's the only time I ever remember him bringing it up when someone didn't ask him a direct question. He does see it as a flawed document. He wants total power. Now he's getting ready to
yes,
go on another $7 or $8 million vacation at our expense. He's buying another $1 million place there in California. He already has
$4 million.
A multi-million dollar home in Hawaii. He don't make that kind of money.
No, he doesn't. I'm sure the Saudis are...
But it kind of explains, you know, I think a lot of times we go crazy because we think that Obama is just conniving and he's scheming and doing this. If he honestly believes that the Constitution does not pertain to him and his ideology, if he actually believes that in his mind, then, you know, he's actually just doing things that a normal – he'd be no different than me walking down that street of London with a beer in my hand. I wouldn't sit there and go like, oh, I'm getting away with something here. I'd just be doing what I normally do if I happen to be in a Sharia zone. Tough crap.
Right.
But I think it helps explain some of his arrogance and some of his attitude towards things.
Yeah, he makes everybody just want to throw up. It's like you need an air sick bag strapped to your chin every minute. I can't take him. But here's the thing. There are a few people like Ted Cruz who remind him from time to time, no, you can't. Like, oh, no, there are several. And I mean, Mark Levin on his shows has been just ripping this guy and everybody else, you know, who's involved on the left. He can't take it because Levin's a constitutional scholar. The guy knows what's going on.
Yeah. But you could make the case pretty easily that Barack Obama, as president of this country, has violated his oath of office because he swore an oath to uphold and protect the Constitution of this country.
And I wonder how many fingers he had crossed behind his back.
Exactly. But that, you know, they talk about, you know, grounds for impeachment. I mean, if you violate the oath of your office, you are
it's easy.
You've got a congressman that violates the oath of office, you can impeach him as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
thanks
for letting me call in.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you got a great show here. I don't make it as often as I'd like
thank
to,
you,
but
sir.
You really do have a great show, so thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks a bunch.
You bet.
Okay, Bill or Mike, did you guys have any more comments? We've got about 7 minutes, so we can play around
all I want to say, if Americans don't start standing up and speaking out, you're not going to have an America. Take a close look around the world at some of the most despot countries on the earth, because we will surpass them.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's what they want. I think that, you know, it's just this idiot Barry, he's got this utopian nonsense that inside of his brain that he's been thinking about since he's probably 17, I imagine, or maybe he was a senator of Illinois, and he's crazy. The man has not two brain cells to rub together. I'm sorry. You know, Mike, did you have any closing comments?
Well, I think that you know, everybody keeps getting frustrated and saying, what's it going to take? What's it going to take?
I know.
I honestly don't think that the pain, the grief, I don't think it's hit the American dinner table yet. I mean, the average John Paquetto, they don't get it yet because they're too busy. Well, I've got work. I've got to get up in the morning. I've got to blah, 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 blah. They're judging it, you know, by the way their lives go, and they don't see the larger picture. When it hits home.
Yeah,
and that's why they're delaying everything with Obamacare and everything. When this gets home, people are going to be in the streets.
Well, here's what I predict, especially with this invasion of the southern border, and other people are predicting the same thing. Now, I don't know which is going to happen first, whether it's going to be the financial collapse, as you say, and hitting the dinner table, or these drug cartel people and the MS-13 people that are flooding the borders right now by the, you know, garbage load. And they start taking to our streets, that now we're going to see some war. You're going to see a civil war in this country.
Yeah.
It'll be.
Yeah,
it'll, no, it will not be pretty. And if that happens, these guys better look out, because there's a hell of a lot more of us armed than there are of them. I don't care how many they pump over there. They will not be happy.
Right.
So, and all I need to do is go buy some more ammo and find someone to reload.
You're in California, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I lived in L.A. for 11 years, man. That's one of the reasons I moved out. Was the minute they started the laws and the regulations they had it. I mean,
it's
not easy over there. I mean, are you down in the valley in L.A. or where are you?
I'm actually in a beautiful spot. I'm in Oceanside, about 5 minutes from Camp Pendleton. It is gorgeous.
Oh.
I'm like, 8 minutes from the beach. But, you know, I mean, I'm still in a big city, so if something happens, I'm kind of locked in, unless I go learn how to hotwire one of those nice boats in the marina.
Yeah, okay.
And get out, find my way around Panama and get to Georgia. I don't know, but, huh?
Yep, you're right. I mean,
it's crazy.
Side is sort of, you're marooned there because you got the freeway holding you in.
Oh, yeah, and there's not really many back roads. I would have to just go take my side street down to the beach and, like I said, tell somebody, here's my silver coins. Can I have your boat? I need to get out of here. Me out
yeah,
of here.
No kidding.
Yeah, so you guys are great. Bill, thanks for calling in, and Mike and everybody in the chat room. You're wonderful. We just came back from a Patriot family reunion in Delaney, Indiana. It was so much fun. We're all trying to get educate the world. I read like a banshee, you know, so does Bill, so does everybody. There's a couple people who aren't feeling well tonight that couldn't be here, but, you know, everybody else, God bless you. And I'm going to take us out with a little song. And please tune in to Terry Rowland's Patriot Education. That woman is fabulous. She talk about well-read, this girl. Can't touch her with that. And she's very good. So, ladies and gentlemen, love you guys, and we'll see you tomorrow night at 6 p.m. for her show. And so much thanks for tuning in. We'll play a little Living in America and get it to go. Thank you, guys. Thank you guys so much. Be blessed. See you tomorrow night. Good night, Nick and guests. Love to everybody. Terry's show, 6 p.m. Eastern, Patriot Education. Good night.